Hey y'all, and welcome to the latest episode of our mystical road trip, where we're traveling through anything and everything that relates with mysticism and spirituality in the hopes that we can grow our connection and abilities to that world. I'm your host, Kim, and I am super excited to be rounding out our journey through the very first tarot card, the Fool. This is part three, and in this episode, we're going to focus on the crystals and herbs that are associated with the Fool card and just how exactly you can utilize them in your tarot readings as well as in your spiritual practices. You know, we've been going over this card for the past month and it's been really great. I think this format is really working. It's really allowing me to dive deep into the meanings and learn so much, and I hope in turn it's also helping you. Before we jump into the actual card itself, of course, there's a couple things we need to do beforehand. That first thing is housekeeping. If you like what I'm doing and you want to support the podcast, there are several ways to do that. They are linked in the description box below, and we will of course talk about it at the end of the podcast as well. Along with that, if you would like to reach out and chat with me, have good conversation, maybe throw some ideas for topics my way, you can always reach out to me on social media. I would greatly appreciate you guys follow me and help me build this community up so we can really have a great support system to help us travel through this mystical road trip we called life. I think that's all the housekeeping, so that means that the next thing we're going to jump into is our week in the stars. And this is where I go over planetary movements that could potentially create some energies that either are going to give you a little challenge or potentially expand upon things and make good things come into your life. I don't know if that's how I wanted to put it, but that's what's going to happen. All right, so we're going to start this out with March 4th, which has two major movements. Mercury in Pisces is going to sextile Uranus in Taurus, and the moon is going to enter Capricorn. With the first one, Mercury in Pisces sextile Uranus in Taurus, it's a pretty harmonious aspect between these planets. Of course, Mercury is about communication, and it's dwelling in the dreamy sign of Pisces, and then Uranus, which is a very innovative planet, is going to be playing around in the Taurus region. This could potentially open up your mind and bring in some very creative and unexpected ideas or even insights, especially in the realm of communication. And that's going to be great because as the moon transitions into Capricorn, everything is going to get a little bit more ambitious and a little more disciplined. And so those two combined together could help you focus not only on communications, but on practical matters and responsibilities. So this is a great time to really sit down and have those conversations about, you know, finances and maybe changing the responsibilities at work, those kind of things, because the two aspects together are really going to be harmonious. The next day on March 5th, Moon in Capricorn still is going to sextile the Sun in Pisces. This is going to bring a really positive connection, actually, because the Moon in Capricorn and the Sun in Pisces is this harmonious combination, in particular around intuitive and emotional energies. So this is a great time to have a little time with your loved ones and really just listen to your intuition and go with the flow, which is not usually something that's said when combined with the word Capricorn, but in this situation, the energies are really aligning with that. The following day, the moon in Capricorn still is going to sextile Neptune in Pisces, and then the moon is also going to venture out of Capricorn and into Aquarius. So it's kind of a halvesies day. The Capricorn and Neptune sextile is pretty nice because it's going to really enhance your intuition even more and also your sensitivity. So you might find that you're a little more sensitive to people's emotions and feelings, and not in a bad way. It could lead to a lot of intuitive emotional guidance and could help with communications, especially in a relationship area. As the moon exits out of Capricorn and enters into Aquarius, the practical thinking is going to move more towards a forward thinking and unconventional thinking. It's really going to have you focus more on individuality and innovation. So this is a good time to take some you time and really sit there and figure out if there's something new you want to do and innovate ways to get to where you want to go. On the 7th, the moon is still in Aquarius and it's going to square Jupiter in Taurus. Now, this is going to be a little challenging because the square in these two is going to potentially create tension, especially around emotional needs, because you may feel like you're boxed in. It's going to really be a time where freedom and expansiveness and material concerns come into play, and it could be a very tense day. So this may not be a great day for like investing in something new or even committing to something that's going to kind of tie you down, because it's really going to be exacerbate like your tensions. The following day, on March 8th, Mercury in Pisces is conjunct Neptune in Pisces. And this is a very powerful conjunction, guys. So between these two planets, and they're in the same sign, you're really going to probably feel much more imaginative and intuitive when thinking things through. The downside of that could lead to a confusion or even like over-idealizing something. So though you have this imaginative and intuitive thinking boost, try to pull it back a little bit, because here's the thing: on top of Mercury and Neptune being Pisces, the moon on that day is also in Pisces. And this is really going to emphasize emotional depth and connection. So you need to be able to utilize all those energies together in the best way possible and the most clear way possible. So before you make any decisions or anything that's happening, just make sure you're really clear and not over idealizing whatever happens that day. Now, on March 9th, it's a big day. There's a couple of different movements that are going to happen we're going to discuss. Mars in Aquarius is going to square Uranus in Taurus, and the Sun in Pisces is going to sextile Uranus in Taurus, and then Mercury is going to enter Aries. Now, that all sounds like a lot, and it really is. We'll start with the first one, the Aquarius square Uranus square Taurus situation. This is a pretty tense square, guys, because, you know, Mars and Uranus, and then the two different sides, Aquarius and Taurus, that's they're very opposite. So it's going to really be potential for conflicts or disruptions, especially around things like change or even like a rebellion, that kind of thing. So just try to stay calm, try to utilize your tools that you have to walk through that. On the opposite side though, the Sun in Pisces sextiling Uranus in Taurus is a very harmonious aspect, and this is going to bring positive opportunities for creative expression and innovation. So I think you just have to really be cautious of what you're looking at and try not to do too much change, but allow the positive opportunities for that to come in. So maybe it's a great day to like sit down and brainstorm, and maybe not a great day to execute those brainstorms, if that makes sense. Mercury is also entering Aries. Now, Mercury is the planet communication, and it's going to move into Aries, which is, as we all know, if you're into astrology, one of the most assertive and action-oriented signs there is. And this is going to really spur you to want to do direct and dynamic communication, which is not necessarily bad, but you have to remember Mars in Aquarius square Uranus in Taurus is creating this potential for conflicts or disruptions. So just be cautious when you are communicating and really try to find individuals that are going to be receptive and not someone who's like, basically don't try to make that square peg fit into that round hole this day. It's not going to work. And finally, to round out the week, March 10th, you have Mercury in Aries, and it's going to sextile Pluto in Aquarius. You also have the Pisces new moon, and then the moon enters Aries, and so the whole thing is about to rumble down, right? So the Mercury in Aries and Pluto in Aquarius aspect is harmonious. It's going to really help create deep and informative communication. That coupled with the Pisces new moon, which is really the beginning of the new lunar cycle, is going to really have you having this urge to really reflect on spiritual growth and setting your intentions for the month ahead. And this, once again, just like with the new moon, it's a great time to really embrace that and do some new moon rituals. And next week we're going to discuss the new moon and the full moon for March, so make sure you tune in then too. The moon entering Aries, it brings in this like really bold and energetic energy. It's going to almost give you more enthusiasm and initiative. I feel like March for a lot of signs and a lot of individuals, especially those that are really rooted in tapping into these energies, is going to be very productive, and it's going to be it's going to be a go, go, go month. So just make sure, that being said, that you are taking the time to re-energize yourself, because once again, I'm going to repeat, March, I have a feeling for everybody, or majority of everybody, is going to be, oof, it's going to go fast, but it's going to be good. I think. I really feel that way. And that, you guys, is the week in the stars. I certainly hope that me going through these is helping you. It's helping me to not only get more in tune with that aspect of mysticism, but also with the terminology and how I can relay the messages to you. So I truthfully do hope that this is very helpful for you. And with that being said, now we can continue on with our journey through the Fool. This is part 3, the final episode. It is all about crystals and herbs. And let me just tell you, I love me some crystals and herbs. I am that crystal girl. You know, I don't have that many because I've been traveling and I was trying to travel light and not really buy anything. But now that I've settled down a little bit, I think we're going to see some more crystals in my house. And herbs, that's just another one of my passions. I'm really looking forward to getting into herbal teas and things like that, which I already am, but I'm actually considering and expanding my business into that. So with that being said, let me know, guys, if you are interested in specialty teas, customized teas in relation to not only tarot, but astrology and all that, to help with energy alignment and blockages and all that kind of good stuff, because I'm really working on right now, currently developing the recipes and doing a little bit of alchemy and tinkering to find the perfect blends that can help with certain aspects. So once again, if you're interested in that, you know, shoot me a message over on Instagram, follow me, because pretty soon there's going to be some amazing things coming down the pike, and I want you guys to have first access to it, because you guys are my community, my people, my soul tribe. You guys are vitally important to me. So yeah, make sure you reach out and let me know if you're down for that. But with that being said, let's freaking get into the crystals. Now, what can you do with crystals? We'll talk about that in a minute. Right now, we're going to break down a couple crystals that really resonate with the Fool's journey. And the first one up is citrine. Now, citrine, it's got these vibrant yellow hues, and it really, those hues kind of symbolize positivity and abundance. And if you're looking at the traditional Fool card, you'll see that yellow is a very prominent color, because it is in the background, right? It's a very prominent color. Citrine is also known as the merchant stone because it was historically associated with wealth. But that aside, when you look at the holistic and the energetic uses of it, citrine really encourages and empowers new journeys and like courage to embark on it. It is the perfect epitome of infusing the Fool's optimism and also helps foster enthusiasm and joy. It is a powerful ally for manifestation, especially when you're looking to manifest aspirations and dreams. It is a perfect tool for that. Now, that's the very first one. The second one we'll be talking about is aquamarine, and this is the clarity crystal. It's got nice blue tones. It's very reminiscent of like ocean depths. It can be very soothing to look at. Let me just tell you, it's maybe one of my favorite stones out there. Aquamarine in particular enhances courage and brings in mental clarity. It's a calming influence that can potentially aid the Fool in navigating those uncertainties. It can guide through unfamiliar waters and help foster serenity, which is something you need when diving into the unknown. And on top of that, it really promotes clear communication and inner peace. Now, clear communication is important on this trip because, you know, though we are on this journey alone, we're going to meet people that help us along the path. We're also going to have people in our lives that may not understand the path. So having the ability to clearly communicate what you want and what you see for your future can relieve that stress. That's where the inner peace comes in. Now, the two together, it's really a good combination. So you can use them individually, these crystals, or you can create talismans with them together or use them together. You can have them on your altar when you're reading. You can do all these things. You can meditate with them. There's a ton of things you can do because citrine's positivity really complements the calming influence of aquamarine. When you combine these two powers, It's going to allow you to face challenges boldly on your fool's journey. With Aquamarine's wisdom and clarity, balance, the enthusiasm that Citrine brings, and together they really create a harmonious support system for this journey that we're all on. This talisman or tool can really bring about like unwavering positivity and really allow you to be insightful when it comes to discernment. That word always gets me. It's a perfect thing. Now, those two are by no means the only crystals that you can utilize on your fool's journey, and there are several others. If you want to know more about herbs and crystals and that kind of stuff, also make sure you're checking out my Medium publication, because I do a lot more more in-depth look at all of these crystals and herbs and a ton of other stuff that's mystical and spiritual and everything, I guess, weird. I don't know. Some people like lump it into the weird. I just say it's mystical and it's spiritual and it makes me unique. So now that we've talked about the crystals, how the heck do you use them, right? How the fuck do you use these, right? Like I've told you, you can put them on your altars and da da da. There's a ton of ways you can do it, but there are a couple ways I'm going to suggest because I think they may be the most effective when it comes to these. So the first is many of us, and I don't know if you do or not, I carry like a little pouch or like I always have a crystal on me at all times. And this is a great way to really have that energy with you at all times. And especially if you're someone who's on the go. And so having these two crystals together for that purpose can help with like moments of uncertainty. Keeping them close will enhance your positivity and courage. It kind of just acts as a personal talisman and really allows the constant, continuous source of that crystal's energy to help you throughout your day. These two are going to help encourage positive mindset and really allow for, even in the most challenging situations, for you to have a little more clarity. Another thing you can do is create a crystal grid. This is really great for intentional and focused energy amplification. So during any type of meditation, whatever the type of meditation is you use, if you take Citrine and Aquamarine and form them in a geometric pattern, it can like boost the energies and really allow the energies to form together. These grids can be customized on whatever your personal intentions or specific goals are. But in the end, it's all about enhancing the synergistic effects of these crystals. And it creates this like powerful energy field that helps provide a supportive foundation for self-discovery and new endeavors. So this is great if you're looking to meditate or journal even, like things where you're like situated and in one spot. And speaking of meditation and contemplation, that is another option to use. When you can incorporate these two crystals into your meditation practice, it can really enhance a lot of things. There's a couple different ways you can do that. You can hold them in your hands or then place them near you so that you can get their energies. By doing this, you're allowing for more a deeper connection with the crystals, especially in regards to like the metaphysical properties. And once again, those two crystals are going to help promote mental clarity, courage, and a sense of calm during this introspection, which sometimes helps, especially if you're trying to figure stuff out. It can also really aid in aligning your intentions with the energies of the full card itself. Because remember, we're starting this journey, those energies, you know, it's going to allow you to really incorporate and have a more balanced and calm journey as much as possible. Obviously, life happens, right? You can also incorporate them into daily rituals, into daily routines. So place them on your desk, bedside table, or have like a designated altar. This will allow those energies to infuse your surroundings, leaving positive vibrations and a sense of serenity. It could also act as a constant reminder of your journey and really help you stay in the moment. In other words, promoting mindfulness. And by having them there on a daily basis, it's only going to serve you guys to reinforce the crystal's influence on your mindsets and decision making. And finally, for the crystals, I do think intention setting and programming can be vitally useful. So before you really sit down to use these crystals, set your clear intention. You want to program them with the specific goals or affirmations you're looking to achieve. This will enhance the ability to align with your desires and support your journey. And then also you'll want to return to those regularly and reaffirm your intentions to maintain your crystal's efficacy. So that might be something you do like at the full moon. And doing this continually and cleansing and doing all that stuff really can strengthen the connection between your aspirations and the crystal's energy. And any of these things will help harness the potential energies of these crystals and really create a more dynamic spiritual journey for you. So that's the crystals. I think that utilizing them along is very great. And by the way, if you are interested in, I'm trying to figure out some more content that I want to deliver to you guys, or maybe even classes or tutorials. So if you're super interested in knowing how to cleanse or recharge crystals, or how to utilize these crystals in different ways, or even a tarot, basic tarot class, please like shoot me a message, let me know. I'm really looking to want to build your guys' skills and also give you guys as much knowledge as I have, and in turn that's only going to make me better. So I think it's a very symbiotic and reciprocal relationship that I really want to build, and honestly it's just going to be amazing to be able to help you. Now we've done crystals, let's move to herbs. Herbs is another fun one, because for me, herbal medicine, like I'm big on holistic healing as much as possible. I'm not anti-science. I don't want anybody to come at me for that. I do believe in medication. I think that it's necessary in a lot of different ways, but I do feel like the more you can utilize holistic stuff without that, it is better for your body. That being said, using the two together, if it's applicable, please don't just use stuff together. I want to really, because I'm talking about herbs now, I really want to be very clear with this. Before you use any of these herbal herbs or herbal remedies I talk about, if you are on medication, you need to talk with your doctor to make sure that there's not going to be any interaction, because some of these herbs with some of the chemicals will create interactions and they could exacerbate your conditions, and I do not want that. So for many different reasons, I'm going to reiterate, if you choose to use herbal remedies, anything I say, and you are currently on prescription medication, please do your research, talk with your physician, and make sure that there is no ill effects of interaction between them. Please, 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 and thank you. Now, the herbs associated with the Fool card, there are a couple different ones, but I really chose chamomile and sage, which are both very, very important on this journey. Now, chamomile is kind of a calming agent. We all know chamomile is really known for its calming properties. It's a great tool to have on the transformative journey of the Fool, and that's because it really facilitates relaxation and stress reduction, and this is something that's very important when you're jumping into the unknown, right? The more stress you have, the less likely you're going to jump. So if you can calm yourself, it's so much better. Chamomile also helps with self-discovery because it does create that tranquility and inner exploration and calm, so you can like quiet your mind and actually listen to your body. It's perfect for incorporating into rituals or routines when you're looking for relaxation and calmness. Sage, on the other hand, is a purifying agent, and this is, you know, you look, if you're into any type of metaphysical or any type of that, you know sage smudging is like the big thing, and it works very well, and that's because sage has purifying qualities that can help with the Fool's journey as well. It can remove old energies and negative influences and create a clean slate for a fresh experience, which is what you need when you're looking to start this Fool's journey. Once again, it's traditionally used for smudging rituals, to cleanse spaces, as well as individuals energetically. You can utilize sage to create more clarity and purification so that you can align with your new beginning, the new beginning of the Fool's journey. Now, those are the two that I focused on, right? So how do you use them? You know, it's kind of similar. It's going to be similar almost always with the herbs, but one of the ways you can do it is infusions and teas. If you can incorporate chamomile into herbal fusions or teas, even sage, it can really calm effects. You know, sipping on chamomile tea during moments of reflection meditation, it can allow you to harness those energies of the Fool much better, because it's really soothing your soul and once again allowing you to quiet. Sage can be used in smudging rituals to control space of said. All you simply do is light a bundle of sage, clear away the stagnant energies, and then you can start anew with a clean, purified environment so that you are starting this journey free of all of that. You can also do herb pouches and sachets. So basically take chamomile and sage, put it together in a pouch, and keep it on you on all times. You can infuse personal items and spaces with the herbal energies, because as you're wearing it and moving, your body and energies and the energies from the herbs are all going to interact. You can use it in meditation meditation. So you can burn dried sage for grounding and purify medication. You can inhale and the calming scent of chamomile, promote relaxation and reflection. These all can help you get into a much better meditative state. And finally, simply you can incorporate into ceremonies and rituals. You can use chamomile and sage, especially in ceremonies and rituals that are dealing with new beginnings. You can get chamomile petals and burn sage, and that's a good symbolic gesture of transformation. They can bring a pretty nice spiritual significance to any ritual. So those are good. And also, let me just say, for sage, you can actually use in food as well. It's a great tool in there too. Chamomile, I think you can use too. You can use chamomile tea to infuse things and stuff like that. So you can also use it in a culinary aspect as well. That is the herbs and the crystals that are associated with the Fool card. And so now all that's left to really do is look at five takeaways and kind of wrap it up. I hope that my look at these crystals and herbs has really helped you. And like I said earlier, if you want more in-depth stuff on that, I do articles and stuff over on Medium that's a little bit more in-depth. So let's jump into it, shall we? The five takeaways. So the Fool card, this is a wrap-up of the whole Fool card, right? This is the end of it. The following week, we're on to another card. So I think these takeaways aren't only about the crystals and herbs, but really about like the overall journey, right? So the Fool card encourages you to embrace the unexpected. So you utilizing these crystals and herbs and astrology and everything we've had aligned can really infuse your journey with positivity and courage and allow you to really embrace it. The one thing you need to do when you're on the Fool's journey is have clarity. And yes, there'll be moments of doubt and all this stuff, but having more clarity than not is important. And that's why chamomile and sage and all of these things can help you really create a serene space for contemplation. And that is key when you are on your journey. New beginnings is the message when it comes to the Fool. That means that in order to really take advantage of these energies, you need to really focus on new beginnings. So rituals that have to do with that, meditation sessions, whatever it is, utilizing all the knowledge that has accumulated over the past 3 episodes about the Fool can be very useful. Carrying talismans or anything like that is always great to maintain that energy surrounding you, creating a buffer, creating like a little shield from negative energy so you can stay focused on your journey. That is a great tool. And in the end, it is all about the journey. The Fool's journey is a process and not the destination. In order to really get the most from the Fool's journey, you need to be able to embrace each and every step and appreciate the lessons along the way. And as we move through the major arcana, there are going to be moments where there are going to be lessons that are needed to be had. The Fool's journey is not all sunshines, rainbows, and lollipops. That I think I said at the beginning. There are going to be ups and downs because there are going to be challenges and there are going to be lessons that need to be had so that you can really dive deep and find your true and authentic self. And that is the takeaways from the Fool. So I am so happy that we're on this journey together. We've started our Fool's journey. We've started our mystic road trip. I'm excited for us to keep going and learning more and diving into new things and getting into, you know, trouble and all that kind of good stuff, because this is really a journey for you and it's a journey for me too. It is a new beginning, literally, for me. I have just, you know, if you follow astrology, Pluto has just left me. It's been in my sign for 15 years, and not just my sun sign, ladies and gentlemen, my moon and my ascending. So I was all kinds of up and down for the last 15 years, and I am ready. This is a new beginning for me, a new beginning for us, a new beginning for the world, and I'm excited to go along on this trip with you. So I hope you're really enjoying this. I know I'm enjoying spending this time with you, and if you are enjoying it and you'd like to support me, you can always, of course, look at the description box below and hit a couple of those links to the Buy Me a Coffee or Patreon. Also, if there are any Amazon links there, they will be affiliates, so that spur a little bit of money my way. If you are short on cash, and trust me, I completely understand, there is even a better way for you to support me, and that is simply to like, share, and review this podcast, because the more you do that, the more the algorithm pushes me out to people that are looking and the more people that will join our Mystic Road Trip. And that is, in the end, really what this is all about. If you want to contact me and reach out, chat with me, build this community, please feel free, shoot over to my social media profiles, or just simply shoot me an email. I'm down for that too. I would love to have chats with you guys. And as always, guys, stay blessed, and I'll see you next week.